Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 and 9 months FY 2024 earnings conference call of Abans Holdings Limited, hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sumit Singhania from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. I'm Sumit from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Abans Holdings Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in company's earnings conference call for the third quarter and 9 months of financial year 2024. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings conference may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainty, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by the information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decision. The purpose of today's call is to purely educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call. We have with us Mr. Abhishek Bansal, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Chintan Mehta, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Nirbhay Vasa, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Ketu Shah, Assistant Vice President. I will hand it over to Mr. Abhishek Bansal for his opening remark. Thank you. Over to you, Abhishek.
Yeah, thank you, Anuj, for your introduction. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you all for joining us for our earning call. Before I get into the quarter three financials and operational performance, for the sake of some of you out here who might be joining us for the first time today and might be relatively new to the company, let me start off by giving you a brief overview of the company. Just an introduction to the company. We are a diversified financial services company that caters to the whole gamut of financial businesses such as institutional broking, asset management, financial lending, treasury operations, and remittances services. Today we are having a global presence with established operations in India, United Kingdom, Dubai, and Mauritius. We have grown from being a commodity trading company into a diversified multi-asset and a multinational financial services company, having varied financial services businesses, which are mainly segmented under agency business, finance business, and capital business. Through our agency business, we also offer opportunities in multi-asset global institutional trading in equities, commodities, and currencies. Besides, we also offer private client broking, asset management, and investment advisory services, wealth management services to corporate institutions, and high net worth individuals. Sorry. We operate a finance business through which we offer lending services primarily focused on providing secured and unsecured term financing to individuals and small and medium enterprises across India. Capital business vertical comprises mainly of internal treasury operations, including physical commodities trading combined with exchange-based trading in foreign exchange equities and commodities, along with its investments and dividend incomes. I would like to extend a warm welcome to all of you as we gather here today to discuss and reflect on our company's recent performance and results. Just to give you a brief overview of this quarter results, for the 9 months of FY24, our consolidated revenues reached almost around 1,100 crores, indicating about a 92% growth on year-on-year basis. EBITDA surged to approximately 99 crores, which grew by about 120% on year-on-year basis, with EBITDA margins positioned at 8.9%, with a growth of 111 basis points year-on-year. Our net profits amounted to rupees 68 crores, marking a 43% year-on-year increase. The PAT margins were at 6.212%. The total assets under management has increased from around 1,665 crores in March 23 to almost 2,500 crores as at December 31st, 2023, primarily due to remarkable performance of our Global Arbitrage Fund and other AIFs and the acquisition of Statco Growth and Momentum Portfolio Management Scheme during this year. Consequently, due to the strategic focus on asset management business, the EBITDA from the agency business has witnessed a YOY increase from rupees 9 crores to rupees 45 crores. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Nirbhay Vasa, who is the CFO of the group, to take you to a deep dive of the financials. Over to you, Nirbhay.
Thank you, Abhishek. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me just give you a brief about the financial highlights for the third quarter and the 9 months ended December 2023. Abhishek has already run us through the key highlights of the performance. In the third quarter, we witnessed consolidated revenues of 501 crores, marking around 96% increase year-on-year comparing to December 22 numbers, and around 40% increase on a quarter-on-quarter basis on top line. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 33 crores with 106% growth year-on-year and remained flat quarter-on-quarter. The EBITDA margins for the quarter stood at 6.59%, showcasing a growth of about 40 basis points compared to the same period last year. Net profit stood at 24 crores, a remarkable 6% YOY increase and a 4.3% Q-on-Q increase. I'll just give you a few more highlights about the growth of the business and how we are functioning to increase our visibility as an asset manager. Avance Holdings Limited is an investment manager for a Category 2 alternative investment fund domestically. It has received in-principle approval for becoming an investment manager in IFSC for a Category 3 alternative investment fund. However, an SEZ approval is awaited for the same. This will boost the standalone revenues of Avance Holdings Limited. We have a subsidiary which has an NBFC license called Avance Finance Private Limited, which is a step-down subsidiary of Avance Holdings, who is wishing to set up a wholly-owned subsidiary in GIFT to carry out lending business. The company is awaiting regulatory approvals to begin the business. The company is also in the process of forming Category 3 funds onshore as well as in GIFT and awaiting final approvals from relevant regulatory authorities. Lastly, Avance Global Limited, which is a step-down subsidiary of Avance Holdings incorporated in the UK, has set up a global in-house center for its back office operations in GIFT City, which will bring cost benefits to the group. We can now open the floor for question and answer sessions. Thank you very much, Valadam and Abhishek.
Yeah, so thank you all for listening to myself and Nirbhay. And thank you, Anuj, for arranging this call. I would like to now throw the dice open for questions. Anuj, if you can take this over.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jigesh Shah, from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Can you throw some light on the ESOP expenses which is incurred during the period and the estimated amount on the same?
Okay. Nirbhay, can you take this question, please?
Yeah. So, The ESOP plan was introduced in August of 2023, and the expense that is accrued in the books belongs to a three-year period, and accrual of that expense is happening every quarter. So you can see expenses for quarter three being approximately 9 crores, if I'm not mistaken. And that is to provide upside to the employees who created Avance Holdings as a group and has been approved by the board. And these expenses will carry on for, I think, a total of 3 years till August 26 as per the current plan. Did I answer your question, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shirar Navzor, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Navzor, we have unmuted your lines. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
I actually spoke regarding gift operations of the company. Could you just throw some light on that?
Did you say gift operations?
Yes, I said gift operations.
Okay. So, Avance as a group has a large vision when it comes to Gift City. We have broking operations out of Gift. We have licenses to trade Gift Nifty. We also have global in-house operations for our foreign subsidiaries. We have an investment management license out of Gift. And we have an alternative investment fund which is housed out of Gift. We also wish to have an NBFC license out of Gift to do dollar-denominated lending. And we believe that GIFT is the future of financial services in India, and we are very bullish on our GIFT operations.
Just to add, I think so Avance Holdings Limited has set up a branch in GIFT City, and that branch has got the approval of the regulator out there in GIFT to act as an asset manager or an investment manager to AIF Cat 3 fund in GIFT City. Now, I will just club the first question and this question to add more insight to the going forward, performance of Avance Holdings, because there is, we will start generating income out of asset management services due to the presence of the branch of Avance Holdings in the GIFT City, which would be clubbed in the standalone balance sheet and the financials of Avance Holdings, thus giving more, optically better insight or perspective of the Avance Holdings Limited standalone balance sheet and P&L account. Yeah.
Did we answer your question?
Yes, thank you. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ansh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
I need to ask on the investments or the strategies which are employed to generate treasury operations.
Sorry, can you come again? Investments or strategies.
Investments or the strategies which are employed in treasury operations.
Treasury operations are taken to, amplify the returns what we are managing here, or the main strategies on here, whether it is in finance or capital. So we run treasury operation in form of fixed income, commodity, or the equity, we buy it in the spot market and sell it in the future market, which in turn, you must be seeing that the volumes are going up and the turnovers are going up because of that. But we earn a better margins by deploying the excess capital which we need to keep the company going and keep it so that way we earn better margins on that. So like for an example, we buy silver in the physical market and sell it in the MCX, which is in a commodity exchange, or whereas in a Reliance, for an example, in equity and sell it in the future market. So that's how we earn, and there are some spread calls we take and amplify our overall returns on that.
Okay.
Yeah, so just to sum it up on what Chintan just elaborated, these treasury operations investment strategies, if I want to broadly put them, they are nothing but arbitrage strategies where the delta risk is almost zero or negligible. Thus, these are risk-free arbitrage strategies which the company deploys to generate return on its internal treasury money that it possesses. And that is what is reflected in the P&L account. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Atreya Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hi, team. I wanted to know if the company is interested in entering the mutual fund industry. And if yes, what specific type of fund would it be?
Yeah, the company definitely is very much interested in entering the mutual fund industry. And right now, I suppose there are about 40 mutual fund asset managers out there. And it has been predominantly dominated by big banks like the likes of Kotak and HDFCs of the world. And there is not enough space for other niche asset managers, which have they have tried also in the past, but not have been able to successfully, you know, being successful in the asset management space when it comes to mutual fund industry. The sector or the space that we are eyeing is for the commodities ETF in the mutual fund space, which I believe is a very nascent and a new space which will be opened up for the investors as the Indian economy sees a high GDP growth trajectory. And also it intersects and coincides with our ability to understand commodities as a market space, because I started my entrepreneurial journey as a commodities trader myself, and we as an organization understand commodities very well. So to offer commodities as an investment product, camouflage under mutual fund in the ETF space, I think so, is a very lucrative space which is positioned for growth in the Indian asset management industry, and it coincides with our asset management ability as well. Thank you.
Hope you answered the question.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Apurva Chaudhary, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
What are the reasons for sustainably high NIM in the NBFC business?
You said substantially high NIM, right? Net interest margin?
Yeah.
Okay. So the NBFC business was recently infused with 100 crores more liquidity in December of 23. So its net worth stands at 312 crores. Okay, and the borrowings are only about 60 crores for the lending business. And hence, the net interest margin stands at more than 8%, because the 312 crores does not attract any interest cost. However, that has a cost of equity which is not considered in the net interest margin. I hope I've answered your question, Apoor.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my question is, when did the payment license was acquired, and how is the business growing, and what is the expected return associated?
So the payment license, I think so, was acquired in around October 21. It's a London company called Corporate Avenue Services Limited. And the future plans look very bright, although we have had certain issues in the Indian payment industry, as we saw. But the same is definitely and will never be the case for the international markets. And we don't intend to enter the Indian payment industry at all. Our focus will always remain in the international markets for entering the payment license. It's a very difficult license to procure. As it is in India, it is also difficult. But it is much more difficult to get into the international waters as well. As you are, it gives you the permission and the ability to transact payments across the globe and do FX conversions across the geographies. So it's a very attractive business, and we are looking forward to develop this business. And it's been 2 years now since we have been, we have got the license. So yeah, the future looks good, but we are taking steady and slow steps as it involves a lot of technological upgradation, and we are gearing up ourselves for the same. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anurag Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. So I wanted to know why the EBIT from your internal treasury operations has come down, while the revenue for the same quarterly quarter basis has increased.
Okay. So the top lines for the internal treasury operations is not something that you can understand from the financials or on the face, right? Because it's a mix of physical business as well as capital markets business. So capital market business only takes the notional value of the trade in the top line. However, the capital, the physical trade takes both buy and sell, and hence the physical activity during this quarter was higher using our cash flow compared to before. And the increase in top line is due to the increased physical trade during the quarter. And the EBITDA drop is because the fair value of the trade from capital markets is just a component of that top line. And when there is lesser physical trade, you will see the EBITDA higher. So that's not the right way to actually look at the EBITDAs of a treasury management business. That's just what I wanted to point out. You can look at the segment report and the financials, which give you a better insight as to how we performed in different businesses. I hope that answers your question, Mr. Agarwal.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhishek Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr.
Hello.
Kumar. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so my question is, how has the IPO proceeds has been utilized?
So we raised about 345 crores from the IPO, out of which there was an offer for sale for the promoter, and the balance was invested in the NBFC business of Avance Holdings, and the I think a 25 crore balance was used for general corporate purposes. So the breakup would be that 100 crores went into the NBFC, 25 crores was utilized as with by Avance Holdings to grow the other businesses that it's invested in, and the rest of the money went to the promoter as offer for sale.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And my second question is, so what is the active number of clients and what is the asset under management under your portfolio management service? And how do you intend to boost the AUM for PMS in the upcoming quarters?
Okay. So we'll answer these questions in two parts. I will speak about the current numbers and I'll let Abhishek talk about how we will fuel the growth for AUM. So the current AUM is at 2560 crores, which has grown a couple of 100% in the last 1 year. And the total number of clients data I don't have. You can reach out to Valorant team later, but we have more 1,000+ investors, both including PMS, Global Arbitrage Fund and others. The exact number can be given through the investment advisors later. Abhishek, if you want to answer the AUM growth story, like how will we boost
it? Yeah, I think so. If you see, the mutual fund industry itself is growing at almost about 20 to 25% CAGR annually. And the alternative space is growing at a much higher compounding rate. I think so it's phenomenally very high. And if you see, if India is to become from a $3 trillion economy to a $10 trillion economy and so on and so forth, there is obviously investable wealth which will be available. But I don't think so the asset managers are growing in the same ratio or in same proportion. And Avance Holdings, you know, being there for the last two decades in the asset management industry and having understood the alternative space, also global asset classes and all the asset classes very well, we are positioned rightly so in this trajectory of India's economic boom, where I think so we have a great tailwind advantage of the investable surplus wealth that the Indians will accumulate over a period of time for managing those assets. So I think so it will be more of a tailwind phenomena which will help us, coupled with our asset management ability.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sahil Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi. So I have a couple of questions. The first one is, in 9 months of FY24, the revenue contribution from agency segment has increased as compared to the past year. So what are the main key reasons for such increase in revenue from the agency segment?
Yeah, and what is the second question if you want to ask so that we can couple it?
Yeah. So the second question is, what were the reasons for a growth in the NBFC AUM size, which was about 47% during 9 months of FY24 as compared to FY23?
Okay. Answering question one by one, the first question that you asked was that what was growth driver for the agency fee increase, right?
Yes.
So the agency fee, just for you all to understand, includes a brokerage income from our brokerage business. It includes a remittance fee from our London remittance business. It includes performance fee, subscription fee, and asset management fee from all our asset management businesses, right? So you see that there has been a 9 crore growth because a large element of performance fee has kicked in into our Mauritius asset management business as well as our PMS business in India. Also, ABANS Holdings has started charging fees to manage alternative investment funds domestically. So these are the three reasons why both the EBITDAs and the top lines have grown, because after a point, the growth in agency top line delivers straight away to EBITDA because the cost of operations is already consumed. That was one answer. Second, you said about NBFC business, the EBITDAs have improved. Is that the question?
Yes.
So the NBFC business borrows money through market-linked debentures, and the market-linked debentures have an aspect of derivatives to it. So when the market performs well, the derivatives will have a fair value through P&L increase, right? And that's why the borrowing cost can reduce if there is an increase in a certain derivative L2L, right? So that's the reason the EBITDA from the lending business has gone up compared to the last quarter, purely due to the increase in the asset classes that have been borrowed against.
Okay, understood. So, yeah, thank you for answering the question. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Rishabh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, hi. First of all, congratulations for the outstanding results for the quarter.
Thank you.
My question is that even in your speech, you mentioned many plans for GIFT City. So how do you look and look that ABANS would be, you know, able to capitalize on the opportunities in the GIFT City? And do you think it would be the next big thing in India?
Okay, so I think I already mentioned that we are very positive and forward-looking towards how the GIFT City regulations and the overall infrastructure shaping up, and it is complementing our business because we are asset managers, brokers, as well as in the lending business. And this helps us grow our business in all three aspects in GIFT as well, because we can have a broking entity outside GIFT, which we already have, and scale that business once there's liquidity provision over there. We can run asset management business out of there because we already have an alternative investment fund housed out of IFSC, and we wish to have a lending business outside GIFT once we get the regulatory approvals. So this will add a lot of top line as well as bottom line to our results and give us a lot of visibility both in India and globally. So I think, yes, it is, according to us, the next big thing in India.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Ankit, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I just like to know what is the average ticket size and highest loan dispersal for the NBFC segment?
I think the highest loan dispersal is about 16 crores and What was the other question? Sorry.
Yeah, the other question is, what are the types of broking licenses Abans hold in Indian markets and globally?
So in Indian markets, we hold NSE, BSE cash equities futures, MCX, NCDEX, which are the basic licenses.
So in India, basically, in India, basically, we hold all the exchange licenses across all the commodities, equities, and currencies exchanges in NSE, BSE, MCX, and NCDX, basically all the segments and everything. Internationally, we are members of SGX, SGIE, Dalian Commodity Exchange in China, Zhangjiao Commodity Exchange in China, and DGCX. Also, we are members of London Metal Exchange in the UK. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. Next question is from the line of Shirar Navroz, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
While going through your books of accounts and the results you published, we've noticed that you have incomes coming from Mauritius and the UK. And are there any other countries in the pipeline?
No, not really. I think so. We are not expanding in any other geography. These are the existing geographies that we have already had subsidiaries and businesses going. We don't intend to expand in any other geography as of now. So this should be it as of now.
Oh, I understand. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. Next question is from the line of Anj, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Do you intend to enter into retail broking services?
We don't intend to enter into retail broking services because it requires a large amount of technological spend also, and there is key players already in the market, and that's not something that we're looking at.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in this earnings con call. I hope we have been able to answer your question satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to reach out to our investor relationship manager at Valorem Advisors. Thank you, all of you.
Thank you. On behalf of Abans Holding Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.